on that journey this morning? Are you on that journey this morning to meet Jesus, to know Jesus, and follow Jesus? Is that you? So let's talk about Jesus this morning. Stand with me as we read from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to start off today with a baby dedication. Jesus' baby dedication. In Luke chapter 2, verses 19 through 24, "But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the day for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And Jesus was dedicated unto the Lord. Father, we come before you this morning. Good morning, Lord. You who've created all things, who made all things, who is the cause to the effect that we experience today. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God. We come before you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. We come, Lord God, this morning with purpose and meaning. We come, Lord God, to sit at the feet of Jesus and just learn from him. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to meet Jesus and to know Jesus and help us to follow Jesus. So, Lord, we honor you and love you and praise you and thank you for this wonderful day and thank you for this amazing week that we had for Thanksgiving. It was awesome, Lord. And we're so blessed in this room. God, help us to remember that. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Good morning. Good morning. So, hey, so last weekend was awesome. Last Sunday was so cool with In-N-Out truck here. And as you know, now begins the journey. All of you packed Christmas boxes, and those Christmas boxes are in the process of being shipped all over the world. And so well done, church. And just want to say, I'm so proud of this church. Such a cool church, man. Be patient with us. We're just in the beginning stages of doing the sanctuary upgrades, and we're sorry that we had to do them. And we were hoping to have these all done before December, but maybe not. Maybe mid-December or something. But so, like on Monday, they're putting in new drapes, and then we'll be able to open and close drapes. The stained glass window will appear once again. This is just, you know, partial, and actually the speakers, they're doing sound, lighting, streaming technologies, all this stuff. We're just doing this stuff. Our lighting's all burned out on the left side of the stage anyway, but we're actually hoping to get some of that fixed this week too. So thank you for your patience, and that's all cool. So are you getting ready for Christmas? I just heard my first Christmas song this week. We put up one tree, actually two. And are you ready for the lights next Sunday when you're here? Actually, Saturday. Come Saturday, guys. It's going to be amazing. Tree lighting service outside. We're going to be singing Christmas songs. The kids are going to be singing Christmas songs, and adult choir, children's choir. And it's going to be, we're bringing in the holiday this weekend, so don't miss this. It's going to be cool. So lots of good things coming and happening. So let it be known. So we're getting ready for the birth. We're going to be celebrating the coming of Messiah. And so I kind of thought it'd be cool this morning to talk about baby dedications and talk about dedications in general. You know, baby dedications, it's a biblical principle. Jesus, take notes of me this morning. Here's just a note. I think sometimes we forget this, but Jesus, when Jesus calls Simon the Zealot, has anyone seen this scene? He calls Simon, "Simon, you be my disciple." And Simon's okay, and he says, "Show me your dagger." And Simon's been training for war, and he gives Jesus his dagger. Has anyone seen this in the Chosen series? So Jesus looks at it and says, it's amazing, and he tosses it in the water. He says, you won't need that. And the guy's like, how am I supposed to defend you? It's like Jesus going, I don't need any defending. But there was a group of people called zealots, and they were following Jesus because they saw him for political freedom. See, you know what? Actually, this is so hilarious. There were people following Jesus because they wanted a next free meal. I call them freeloaders. They were following Jesus for free food that he fed them. Watch this. In John chapter 6, 25 through 27, when they found him on the other side of the sea, Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, you know. And then Jesus got in a boat. Well, the disciples did, and he sent them out, and then he went to them out on the water, and they're like, all of a sudden, he's on the other side of the lake. They're like, how did you get over here? Well, I took a shortcut. He doesn't tell them that. But he walked on water. When they found him on the other side, they said to him, Rabbi, how'd you get here? I'm not going to tell you, right? Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, I fed 5,000 people yesterday, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You want me to feed you again, don't you? And Jesus teaches him, do not work for the food which perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father has given his seal. They were looking for their next meal. There was people actually 2,000 years ago following Jesus because maybe I don't have to work today. Maybe he'll feed me again, right? Check this. Write this one down. Unless you hate, the word means to hold in relative disregard. See, I love a double-double with grilled onions. And I think I might even have a picture one here. Maybe. Pastor Frank loves double-double with grilled onions. Okay? Boy, they were good last week too, weren't they though? The cool thing was they gave us 5 extras. Guess what I had for lunch on Tuesday? And dinner. Ooh. Now, but compared to my wife, and my love I have for my wife or my children, if you put a double-double here and you put my wife here, I hate a double-double with grilled onions compared to my love for my wife. I hold this in relative disregard. When you hold a baby in your arms and you realize once you have a brand new baby and you feel the love that you have for your child, and you're going, dude, I would die for this kid. I will dedicate my life for this kid. I love, all of a sudden, other things that you thought were more really valuable to you, when you hold a child in your hand, those things don't become valuable to you anymore. Do I hear an amen? Amen. I hold them in relative disregard when you held something so dear to you. Jesus is saying that what I'm in your presence, I'm the Messiah. Philip was crucified and stoned with his two daughters in Asia Minor because he was preaching Jesus. Bartholomew or Nathaniel, he was skinned alive and beheaded in India. Doubting Thomas was preaching in India, and he was hit by a poison dart. They shut him up by killing him. Matthew the tax collector was down in Ethiopia, was run through with a spear. Simon the zealot was a missionary in Britain, crucified. Andrew, the brother of Peter, crucified. Peter, crucified upside down in Rome. He says, I'm not worthy to die the same way my Jesus died. So they flipped the cross upside down and crucified him upside down in Rome. Paul, the apostle, since he was a Roman citizen, he doesn't crucify it. They cut his head off. But he told the guy, before he cut his head off, I forgive you what you're about to do. And he laid his head on it, and they whopped his head off. So that's called radical. What, am I right? That's radical love and dedication or devotion for God. They were willing to live for Jesus and, if need be, die for him. It's interesting. Whenever we go to Caesarea, when we do Israel biblical study tours, we always go to Caesarea our first day. And I never talk about origin, but there was this, we always talk about Acts 10 and Cornelius and you know, all the importance of Caesarea. But there was a bishop that lived there about 120 named Origen, and he was a little boy being raised in Caesarea, And he watched his father out in front of his yard one day. A Roman soldier came out and said, "Kurios Caesar." And his dad said, "Kurios Jesus." It means Lord. Lord Caesar, Lord Jesus. The soldier whipped out his sword and said, "Kurios Jesus." Or Caesar. His dad said, "Kurios Jesus." And the Roman soldier ran his dad through in the stomach with a spear, killed his father right in front of him outside the door. Origen's dad, dead. Because he wouldn't say, "Caesar's Lord." Origen wanted to run out and die with his dad. And it says that his mom hid his clothes. He didn't want to run out naked. He ends up becoming the bishop of Caesarea in the early church. Powerful. Do people live radical lives for Jesus today? Anyone? So I've been to Romania. Back in 1990, when the Iron Curtain just went down, we went to Romania and people were so hungry to hear about, communism kept any form of freedom of religion, but when communism fell, people were so hungry, and we Americans, we went in the 90s, and we passed out 15,000 tracts, 6,000 Bibles. Every day we do street witnessing. It was so cool. And I remember one day, I was on a train coming back. I think we're going to Bucharest. We're heading back to America, and I was on the train with this boy, and he was telling me what it was like living in Romania during communism. And he would talk about like his baptism. He said that he was baptized in the Black Sea. But it was illegal, and as the church was baptizing people late at night, the police showed up and began arresting people, and him and his buddy hid underneath some bench, and when the police all left, him and his buddy secretly went out into the water, and they quietly whispered their vows to Jesus and baptized themselves without the pastor because he was arrested. This kid told me about his grandfather that used to go up to the front of the bus. Once the bus got going and he turned around and started preaching Jesus on the bus. And then his grandpa would get arrested and he wouldn't see his grandpa for 2, 3, 4 months. And then finally grandpa would come back home. He's skinny and he's probably been beaten and so forth. And he would say that him and his grandpa would get back on the bus and he'd tell his grandpa, "Please don't do it." His grandpa got back up to the front of the bus, started preaching again. When we met the underground church in Romania and how radical they were, it made me feel so embarrassed as an American Christian. At first we were like, "Hey, we're the Americans. We're coming to help you." And then after there a while, I'm like, "We got nothing." They're the super Christians compared to us. Just humbled me radically. Do we have any of this? Conviction in our hearts for the one who hung on the cross to wash us clean. People were so willing to live for so many things, but when you really purify it down, what are we willing to die for in this life? Jesus? See, Jesus just wants a commitment. My wife wanted a commitment from me. Cinda Harwood, cute, gorgeous. "Cinda, will you marry me? Will you be my second love?" She says, "If I'm your second, I'll never be your third." I gave her a ring and she gave me a ring. She wants devotion, dedication. She wants a commitment from me. Do you know what God wants from you? See, he's totally committed to you. He's fixed. You're the variable in the relationship. He's fixed. But he calls us to commit our lives to him. I'm not a perfect husband. But I love my wife and I'm committed to her. I'm not a perfect Christian. But I love my Jesus. I'm committed to him. It's an issue of the heart. See, Jesus turns to the crowds and he says, I'm bigger than this. I'm bigger than your personal ambitions. Jesus says, I'm bigger than your entertainment. Jesus says, I'm bigger than you getting a free meal. Jesus says, I'm even bigger than overthrowing a government. Jesus is telling the crowd that I'm more valuable than these things. Don't treat me as a toy for your will. Don't cheapen me as a puppet for your expectations. I'm the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. I am committed unto you unto death. Will you be committed to me? Good question, Jesus. That's a good question for all of us to answer in our hearts. Every day we have to ask that question. Is a decision of the heart and the will. See, mom and dad, they decided little Mia is going to get dedicated today. That was a decision of their heart and will. We're going to dedicate our child unto the Lord. Dedication is a decision of the heart and will. This is something we do. Baptism, same thing. A couple weeks ago, we baptized 11 people out here. They all chose, I want to be baptized. I want to dedicate my life publicly to Christ and let everyone see. It's a big deal. It's a decision of the heart and the will. I'm going to dedicate myself to this. See, Jesus, before Jesus taught the masses, he taught his 12 in Luke 9, 23 and 24. He wrote, and he says this, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes, this is to the 12, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. There, I have it underlined, daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life, he's going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one that's going to save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself or his soul? And that's deep, Jesus. Man, that's deep. He who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for me, then you'll find your life. You find your life, you're going to lose it. You lose your life for me, you're going to find life. What profits a person if they gain the whole world and forfeit their soul? That's good. Do you think God needs any Marines in heaven? Do you think God needs any cops in heaven? Anyone? Accountants? Bankers? Lawyers? Business people? Does God need any of this? See, we define ourselves so much in what we dedicate ourselves to, and we kind of get identity from what we dedicate ourselves to, but they're all temporal things. They're earthly things. To God, Jesus is so dedicated to you. When you commit and dedicate your life back to him, it defines you in the eyes of heaven and earth. And that definition goes with you into a eternity, which is a really long time. These are the tough teachings of Jesus. When you read him, you like him. Ah, a baby born in Bethlehem. How cute. That's cute. And then he grew up, and he wasn't so cute. He's intense. He's focused. He's dedicated. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You want to know what the joy was? It's you. See, he loves you. He's dedicated to you. Now, It's just important for all of us to remember and recognize and to know once again, He wants something from us too. He wants you to be dedicated to Him. Every morning I wake up, Jesus, I dedicate myself to you today. Jesus, in the morning when I wake up, Lord, good morning, thank you for this day. I'm purposely, intentionally saying, Jesus, help me to just be who you need me to be today. I want to commit. See, there's days when I can say, I'm not dead. I'm going to go live for Frank today. Wait, no. Today I'm going to dedicate my life to Jesus. Did Jesus, anything you need me to do today? You're the Lord. To me, no. Ah, the follow part's the hardest part. Follow me. See, but you know this, as you follow him, dude, you become a better person. You follow Jesus and he teaches you how to love and serve and how to care. He teaches you priorities of life. He's so rad, man. See, it's Christmas. Next week, we begin Christmas at Woodbridge Community Church. Every Sunday, we're going to be doing Advent candles. Christmas trees will be on stage next week. We're going to be singing Christmas carols every week. We're going to be remembering the coming of Jesus, the Advent, the coming. I thought it'd be cool the last Sunday before December to sit, just talk about baby dedicating and talk about maybe us as children, we need to rededicate ourselves to Christ. As the Christmas season's about to unfold, can all of us in this room just say, you know, the world's a nut job. Jesus, you're the anchor. You're my Savior. You're amazing. I want to dedicate myself to you. Recommit my life to you. Kneel before you once again. Declare you as a good God who loves me and cherishes me, and I love you and cherish you back. As the worship team comes up, we're going to sing a song called The Stand. I like this song. I picked this one. The song says, I'll stand for the one. When you listen to this song, it's like, I will respond to the love of Messiah, and I will stand as well. I will. It's a song of dedication. It's a song of dedication. As your pastor, I want to challenge all of you today to rededicate your life to Jesus, to recenter yourself in Christ, to get back into the orbit where you orbit around Him, that you recommit yourself to know Him better, to try to understand Him better, to reach out for Him again. You need to know this morning that He does expect something from you. He does want something from you. He wants you to respond to Him. He calls you to commit to Him. As He's committed to you, He just wants you to commit back to Him. Lord, I pray that you help us this morning, God, to understand your teachings, Jesus. Jesus, I know that as you said those words 2,000 years ago, there were people in the crowd that gave you a frown, that scowled at you. They probably were thinking, who does that guy think he is to say that type of stuff to us? He's God. Jesus, when we study your teachings, we get what you're trying to say. You were speaking for effect. You were trying to stir the crowds, shake them a little bit. Lord, would you shake us this morning? Would you stir us again, God, spiritually? Would you touch our eyes that we might see you more clearly this morning? Would you touch our ears? We might hear you, God, a bit more clearly. We meditate on you. We think on you. We love you and we praise you. Jesus, this Sunday before for December and the celebrating the coming of your birthday, we know what you want. and we know who you are. Help us, Lord. Help us to not just sing this song, but to pray this song. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.